Well, we have been in a series in Joshua in 2024, reminding us to be strong and courageous. And in our journey last week in chapter 3, we got to the verge of the Jordan River. And we saw that as the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant entered that river, that the flow of that river stopped. And the whole nation was able to cross the Jordan on dry ground. Well, today is kind of part two of that message, because it is just as they reach the other side, the western shore of the Jordan River, that God has other instructions. And that is what Patty will read to us today. So, Patty.
Before I read, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we could come here today to study your word, to hear Pastor Tom give him the words to teach us. I ask, with this being especially a communion Sunday, that we remember that you sacrificed your son for our sins. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading today is Joshua 4, 1 through 7, and then 15 through 24. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground then the water of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Patty. I'm going to start with a question for you that I actually do want responses to. So here's my question. What are some of the most dangerous things that threaten our faith? What do you think? What are dangers to our faith? What threatens it? Non-believers. Maybe antagonistic non-believers. Yeah. Other responses?
The devil,
absolutely. The deceiver, yeah. Yeah, and pride, yeah. Government, yeah. Not being a friendly place for believers. Temptations, right? Money, peer pressure, all kinds of things. But one of the biggest ones is forgetting. As Tolkien says in Lord of the Rings, there are some things that should never be forgotten. And Tolkien says they were lost, and that started all the trouble. As a kid, I used to get annoyed when older adults would share the same stories again and again and again. I wanted to be rushing forward to the next thing, and it was inefficient and boring to hear the same story repeated. Now that I'm in my middle ages, I don't mind so much. There's some comfort in hearing those stories again. It's predictable, and that feels good. And it also, I've realized how those stories shape me and how important they are to my formation and my identity of who I am. And there are some things that should not be forgotten. And repetition is a key to remembering. That is why I had Patty read the first part and the last part of chapter 4 of Joshua, which the youngsters probably noticed repeated itself a good bit. And yet we need to hear that over and over again, because remembering is important. So my outline today is: memorials have power in our lives. Memorials are for teaching our children. That's the second point. And memorials are missional and mindful. That's my third point. So first, the power of memorials in our lives. Yesterday, I was in the cemetery and reminded once again those headstones containing names and dates are powerful. As we come to a grave marker of someone we love, their life is palatable. It's remembered. And we remember the words they would say. We remember the actions they did. We remember the way they lived their lives. And sometimes that inspires us. It says, I want to be like that. And sometimes we say, I want to be nothing like that. And so it shapes us for good or for bad. But memorials are not just about the past. Sometimes memorials are about past events that continue on in the current day. And memorials are a subset of something called symbols. And one thing that if you're married, you have most likely a ring around your finger. And that wedding band reminds you when you see it of your wedding day. And that might have been a year ago, that might have been 50 years ago. But it reminds you of that day when your spouse put a ring on your hand and said, this is a symbol of my unending love and my faithfulness to you. That ring, every time we look at our hands, should recall that to us and identify who we are. We're a married person, and identify what we're going to be. We're going to stay married, where this is till as long as we both shall live. So that's another example of a memorial, something that we see visibly to remind us of promises made, of people that are important. Well, God gave us, or gave Israel memorial. He gave them 12 stones that they were to set up where they camped, which ends up being Gilgal. And every time they see that those stones standing there, it is to be a silent witness, a reminder of what God did at the Jordan River, how his power cut off the flow of that flood stage river so the whole nation could cross into Canaan, the promised land. It was a symbol like the Red Sea. You remember as the Israelites came out of Egypt and their salvation and deliverance, they came to a barrier, the Red Sea, and they couldn't cross it. And the Egyptian army was coming behind them, and God made a path so they could cross on dry ground. Well, at the beginning of their deliverance and here at the end of their deliverance, God splits the water so that his people can flourish in the good land. Last week, I mentioned in my sermon that perhaps the cutoff of the water, why it stood at a heap up in Adam, was because there was a landslide there. There were earthquakes in that area, and four times in history since 1000 AD, we have recorded that has happened in that spot at Adam, that there's a landslide, and it temporarily blocks the flow of the Jordan River for sometimes 10 hours, sometimes it's been recorded up to 20 hours. And perhaps, possibly, that is what happened here. It could be. But nonetheless, this is not just some geological oddity that the river was cut off for this certain amount of time, because it's clear that the water stops flowing the moment the soles of the priest's sandals hit the water. As they step into the water, that is the moment it gets cut off. And when those same priests step out of the river bank onto the western shore is when that river starts flowing again. So let there be no doubt in our minds that this is the hand of God. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God has gone before, and it has cut off the water. God has cut off the water so that the Israelites can pass through. But this memorial that God is particularly instructive to say, make sure you make this, make sure you make it this way, has an implication that the River Jordan will not usually be cut off like that. And that's good for us to remember, because sometimes we see the hand of God and we expect it to always be in moving in mighty and powerful ways, and sometimes it doesn't. But sometimes we have memorials that we are to go back to and remember God's salvation in our lives. And memorials I'm defining as visible reminders of invisible acts or things that we can't see any longer. And so we are to go back and remember things. And our great act of deliverance that we celebrate as followers of Christ is not a deliverance from the land of Egypt, but for deliverance from slavery of sin and death that we were captured to. And God has freed us through Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. And so our symbol is the cross. And so for Christians, we lift high the cross of Christ, because when we see that, we're remembering something. We're remembering our salvation, how Jesus came down from heaven and that he made a way for us to get to God through his death on a cross. So we don't see that. That's a never-to-be-repeated act. Jesus only died once. He only rose from the grave once. That's not going to be something we visibly see. So we set up memorials and reminders of us, because we, lest we forget the power of God to save us. On a personal level, kind of some application for my first point here, is I want to encourage us to, as we journey through life and God shows up in a miraculous or a wonderful way that we say, truly the hand of God was on me at that moment in my life, make a memorial. Or something visible to help you remember that, because that may not come around again for a long, long time. And I don't want us to forget and say, well, God never shows up, because we can go to that memorial and we can say, but he did. For me, one of those experiences I've shared throughout the years was when I was 16. I went on a mission trip with Teen Missions to Russia and Ukraine. And it was then that God showed up pretty powerfully in my life. I had been raised in church, knew all the answers, and believed in Jesus. And yet on that trip, I saw God do wonders that can only be explained that God was in those moments. And it was there that I felt him impress upon my heart and heard him call me to ministry and to be excited about evangelism and discipleship and how that meets. And that has brought me to being a pastor. And so that is something that's easy to forget. Easy to forget. It was a powerful moment in my life, and yet life gets busy. There's things to do. There's pressures to be met, and I could forget that. So in my office, I hang a memorial. It's a fur hat. I bought this in Red Square in Moscow, and it reminds me of how God showed up in a powerful way in my life. Now, for you, it might be something visible, like a hat. I have a missionary friend who collects rocks. When God does something really significant in her life, she writes down the place and the date and puts these little rocks in a bowl on her coffee table. And then every once in a while, we'll reach in there and pull them out and remember how God showed up in her life. For some people, they keep a journal. They write that down. But friends, there are some things that shouldn't be forgotten. We should never forget the cross of Christ. And there are ways that God has showed up in our lives, that when life gets stressful and busy and it's dark and we don't know how we're going to keep going on, we need to remember. Remember how he has showed up in the past. Another, my second point here is that memorials are for teaching our children. Our nation does this. In our capital of the United States of America, we have lots of memorials, don't we? We have the Washington Monument. We have the Lincoln Memorial, probably the two most famous, with the reflecting pool in between them. And those are for a declaration of who we are as a nation, but especially for our children, that we can take them or show them pictures of this and explain how our nation was forged through the Revolutionary War, through the Civil War, and how it shapes our identity of who we are as Americans through these different memorials that stand there. They're so that we pass on to our kids, and they've stood for hundreds of years and hopefully will stand for hundreds of years, that we can have this continuity of remembering who we are as Americans. Well, this sanctuary has a lot of memories for us. And as you look around here, you may remember different moments in your life. Maybe your wedding was here. Maybe a funeral of a loved one was here. Maybe a baptism, maybe a friendship and a support you needed that God met you here in this sanctuary. So we have different things in the sanctuary that remind us of things. And those are nice. Those are good. Those are helpful. But there are two here that Jesus gave to us. We call them sacraments. And they're memorials. They're things that we are to look at and remember Jesus Christ and our salvation. One is this baptismal font right up here. If you take a look at that, that baptismal font has been here a long time. And if you were baptized with this baptismal font, raise your hand. How many people were baptized here? All right, keep those hands up and raise your hands now if you brought your child to be baptized here in this baptismal font or grandchild. Yeah. Some people have multiple hands up. That's great. But when you see that, it brings something back to your mind. If you were baptized as an infant, you don't remember that, but you know that this was where you were baptized. You were marked with the waters that symbolize dying with Christ and being raised with Christ. And you were marked with the name of the Trinity, that you were made a covenant family, part of his covenant family. And so that baptismal font reminds us of Jesus. It reminds us of our salvation through Jesus. Second sacrament that the Lord gave us to remember is the communion table. And this one is front and center today because we're going to be remembering communion. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is more than a piece of furniture up here. It is a memorial. It is something that helps us remember front and center in our minds every time we come to worship that we have been united with Christ through his sacrifice that we have received. We've become one with him, and we're remembering this. We're remembering his body, that it was broken. We remember his blood was poured out for forgiveness of sins. That marks who we are. That's our identity as Christians. And this table has been feeding people of this congregation for a long time. And whether you were baptized in this baptismal font or in a pool or a river or a lake or another church, it doesn't matter. These are symbols that cross all our churches. Wherever you go, you're going to find symbols of baptism and the Lord's Supper there. And this is going to continue. As long as the church continues, these two sacraments are going to connect us with future generations because they too will come to be baptized and to eat at the table of our Lord and remember his death and his resurrection until he comes again. And so both of these, with the baptismal font symbolizing part of that resurrection and the table remembering his death until he comes again, remind us, identify us for the day of who we are and give us hope for tomorrow, what God is going to do. And so as the Israelites were to explain to their children what the stones in Gilgal meant and how God's mighty power had opened up the Jordan Sea, let these be symbols that we teach our kids, that we explain what it is when we're eating a little bit of bread and we're taking a little thimble of juice and why we have a baptismal font here. These are symbols of our faith, of what we believe. Well, my third point is memorials are also missional. Missional, and to be mindful. Memorials are God's mighty work that are remembered visibly to us, but they're not just for us. They're for the outside world as well. If you think of the cross, one of the great symbols of the Christian faith, those can be towering, ornate, beautiful, or just rugged, and nations could come and say, why is a symbol of execution and pain and torment bring hope to people? And we want them to ask that question. We want them to be curious. And we want us to be able to give it a reason, an explanation to them of how it was because of God's perfect Son who took on our punishment that freed us from our slavery to sin and death. That has now been transformed into a symbol of hope for us. So these symbols are not only for us, but for the world, that we can explain why an abandoned, empty cross is a place of hope and joy and peace for us. Well, memorials are missional. They're thinking about spreading the gospel, but they're also to make us mindful. Not in some kind of new agey way, but I use that word to say evaluating who we are in light of God. Without memorials like the cross or communion table, like the baptismal font, we could be tempted to write our story with us in the middle of it. That our life here, our journey on earth, is all about me. And yet these symbols push against that and say, no, this is God's story. This is something that's much bigger than me, and he is in the middle. He is the center. He is the one with whom is driving human history and us and our life purpose. And we can't identify ourselves outside of Jesus Christ. So we live our lives in view of this communion table, in view of the baptismal font, in view of the cross, and say, my life is not about me. It is about Jesus Christ. It's about his love for me. It is about, that's something I was struck with again this morning as I was thinking and looking in the mirror and thinking about who I am. And, you know, I was discouraged this morning. I was frustrated this morning. And yet remembering that Jesus loves me, that he loves me so much he died for me, reminded me of the truth I needed to hear once again of the gospel. And friends, we need to hear that again and again, and not just in our minds, but visibly, that we can see that God created you, loved you, redeemed you, has saved you, and is in the process of sanctifying you, making you holy and perfect for eternity. That's not our work. That's God's work. And friends, there are some things that should never be forgotten. We need to repeat them. We need to tell them to the future generation. We need to tell them to ourselves again and again so we never forget that our life is only life because Jesus laid his down for us. Let us pray. And now, with my prayer, I'm going to lead us into a prayer of confession, so be aware of that. Oh, Lord, we do want to remember. Remember that our trust is not in ourselves, not in our government, not in our military, not in the strength of this world, not in our smarts. Our trust is not there because they could all fail us. They do fail us. Yet our trust is in the cross of Jesus Christ, that it has done what you said it would do and has given us life and joy. Our trust is in an empty grave. There is no bones of Jesus anywhere because he is raised bodily from the dead and he's coming again. We need reminders of that. So soften our hearts that we may look to you and receive afresh each day the message of your gift of salvation. And Lord, I want to invite the whole congregation to join in this prayer confession on the screen. Lord, you are our shepherd, yet we still want. You promise us rest, but we refuse to be still. You are our righteousness, but we look to our own works. You are with us, but we still fear and do not trust your promises of protection and cower at our enemies. Lord, forgive us. Cause us to embrace your goodness and mercy, that we may truly believe that you will be with us all the days of our life. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Friends, take a moment to confess your sins, knowing that the Lord hears you. And hear these words of God's grace from Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Amen and amen.